Luke, the 7th chapter, we will start reading at verse number 11. Came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, an only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the regions around about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much for the privilege as we've had to read it in the presence of this congregation, how good your Word is, how we know it's true, we know it's from you, we know it's your Word. And so, Father, we thank you for it. Ask you now to bless the services today. Ask you, God, to help us. Empower us, give us wisdom, Lord, that your word go forward and do that which it needs to be accomplished today. And Father, once again, we're reminded of the Nicholas family. Ask you, God, to help, bless in a real special way. Help Ashley heal her, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Jesus come to a little city, a little town called Nain. Right before that, he had been up in Capernaum. And the Bible tells us that it was a day after he'd been in Capernaum that he came to the city of Nain. Up in Capernaum, he had encountered a centurion. A centurion had a servant who was sick, and so the centurion sent some of the people to go to Jesus, because he had heard, the Bible says he had heard about Jesus, and he sent them to go to Jesus and ask him if he would heal his servant. So they did, and the Bible tells us they tried to make their case even. They said, now this centurion, he's a good fella. He said, and they was not doing this wrong, said he's a good fellow, said he's been good to us. He even built a synagogue here in the city for us. So this centurion was what we would call a good fella. But Jesus is not too interested in good fellows. He's interested in faith in himself. But anyway, they was saying that he was a good man. So Jesus decided to go. He went to Capernaum, headed on the way to Capernaum, and pretty soon we find that some friends of this centurion came and met Jesus. And they said, you know, the centurion said that he wasn't even worthy that you would come to him and under his roof. And in fact, he sent friends, the Bible says, because he didn't even think himself worthy to come to Jesus. What a humble spirit. What a tremendous, humble spirit this man must have had. He didn't even think that he would be worthy to have Jesus Christ in his presence. Now, that's tremendous. And so the Lord was going toward that, and so he sent word, and he just simply said to them, he said, I'm not worthy, he said, to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. He said, all you have to do is just speak a word. He said, you don't have to come, you don't have to lay hands, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Now, I want to show you what he said after that. He said, for I also am a man, he said, set under authority. He says, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He said, I'm a man who has people under me. I'm an authority over them. And all I have to do is tell them to do this. They do it. If I want them to go somewhere, I just tell them to go somewhere. If I want them to come, I just tell them to come. And they do it because I'm authority over them. Amen? That's what he said. So what he was saying was this. And because what he was saying, he said, all you have to do is speak a word, and he'll be healed. In other words, Jesus, you have authority over everything. You have authority over diseases. You have authority over all principalities and powers. You have authority over everything. You don't need to come to my house. All you need to do is just simply say a word and it'll be done. And Jesus turned and said this, when he heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And of course, when they went back, these servants, these friends of his went back and found this servant healed and well because Jesus had spoken a word. Now, that's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for today, the kind of faith that just simply says, Jesus, you can do anything. You have authority over everything. And I want you to know, as a church family, I want you to know Jesus has authority over leukemia. Okay? I'm just saying that. I don't know. I'm not presumptuous. I preached a message here a while back on the sin of presumptuousness. We cannot say what God's going to do because we can't be presumptuous. But all we do know is this. He is able to and capable to. And whatever he decides will be right and proper because God is good. But I know this. He gives us the authority to ask. Amen? And that's what we're asking. We're asking God to do a marvelous thing in healing Ashley. So I'm just simply presenting to you somebody something here that we know our great Lord is able. All he has to do is say the word and it'll be done. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you, trust God. We'll trust him to do what is necessary to be done. And then he comes to a city here by the name of Nain. And he finds that the Bible tells us here that coming out of the city, there was a dead man. This man was older. What I'm saying is he was not a little child. The Bible says he was a dead man. And he was carried out of the city. And of course, the mother of this son was there weeping, as we find out. The Bible tells us that not only had she lost her son, but she was a widow. So she had lost her husband. And let me say to you, in those days, I don't know. I know there is some cases where there was things left to the widows, but a lot of cases when the man went, it was up then to the family to see to the need of that widow, and that was her care. That's how she was cared for. And so we find that her husband was dead. She was a widow. Now we find that her son, her only son, also, the Bible says. Now, I don't know whether she had any daughters or not. The Bible does not tell her, but we know this. She had one son, and he now was laying there dead. So what I'm saying to you is, not only did she lose a precious husband, she lost a precious son, and very well had lost her livelihood. Very well. We don't know for sure, but it's a very good chance that she had lost her livelihood. How was she going to be cared for? Because the son, more than likely, was caring for her. Now she had lost him. So we find that Jesus, the Bible says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. She was crying. Why would she not be crying? She had a husband that was gone. She had now a son. The only son she had was gone. And Jesus looked upon her and he saw her weeping. And the Bible says he had compassion upon her. We're going to preach a message this morning. We could call it the compassion of Christ. Or we could ask a question and say, does Jesus care? Does he care? Yes, he does. He cares for every widow that has ever lost a husband. He cares for you today so much. And let me say to you, we can comfort you, but the greatest comfort you can get is from that wonderful Lord who will reach down, put his arms around you, and love you and comfort you. I want you to know, widows, this morning, Jesus loves you very much. For those who have lost children, I want to say to you this morning, Jesus loves you very, very much. Difficult thing for a mother and dad to have to bury a child. That's not the way we think it should be. But sometimes that happens. And just let me say to you, Jesus cares. He sees the weeping. He knows the turmoil you're going through. He knows what you face from day to day. I'm just simply saying he has compassion for you, and he does care. Now, in this incident, he went and he touched the young man, and he told him to rise, and he brought back that young man back to life and gave him back to the mother. I simply want to mention to you this morning that Jesus cares about those who are dead. On the spiritual side of it, I want to say to you Jesus cares about those who you love so much who are dead in trespasses and sin. You see, only He can touch their lives and say to you and say to them, if they'll turn to Him in faith, arise, stand up, and be born again. You know, I was talking to a man yesterday, and he was telling me, as soon as we practically got to the gate and started talking to him about it, he brought up the subject that he had a brother that had just died. And he said that brother was lost outside of Christ. He never knew the Lord. And he said his mother and dad were saved people, and you could tell it was just such a burden on him because he said, I won't see him ever again. He said he's lived just a terrible life. All of his life, he had no concern for the Lord whatsoever. He didn't care about the Lord. And he died at an early age, not too long before we just talked to him there. And you could tell it was just such a burden for him. There's some of you out there today that have lost loved ones. And I want to tell you, Jesus can raise them. Jesus can save them. That's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ can do it. Don't ever give up. Jesus Christ can born them again into His family. He can raise them from the dead of trespasses and sin, and He can raise them up where they'll be saved and ready for heaven. I'm saying to you, keep praying. Brother Tim back there was telling me a while ago, he said he was so happy. He said he was a fellow at his work that got to come to know Christ as a Savior. He had witnessed to him, and he said, well, he wasn't ready, and he gave him two tracts from the church here, two of the tracts, and gave them to him, and he said he stood back, he read those tracts, and he said he just came over his face. He just absolutely saw that he was seeing the truth, and he stood there, and he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him and give him eternal life. Now, I'm just simply saying to you folks, don't give up on tracts. They do work. Pass them out. Let people know, because in that tract is the gospel message. Man comes back to work the next day and wants to have a prayer meeting before work every day. I'm just simply saying, more than I got saved, you think? Amen. What I'm saying is, God can, and He's the only one, can lift up those who are dead in trespasses and sin. And He has compassion on the lost. He cares about your lost people. Cares about those who are not saved in your own family that needs Christ. Keep praying, keep asking, and God can do it, you see. Now, I want you to go with me over to the book of Matthew, the ninth chapter of Matthew. When we talk about the compassion of Christ, we understand that it's something very special. Compassion is something that there's a sorrow for the misfortunes. It's almost a sympathy. But yet the word sympathy is not in the Bible. But it's the same thinking, the same thought, is there's compassion for those who have a need. And there's also then a desire to help. You know, Jesus didn't stand around and shake his head at that and say, oh, well, that's terrible, she's lost her son. He did something. He had enough compassion that he did what he could do. Now, no one else, you and I, can't raise them from the dead, but we can give them the words that will give them eternal life. So God can raise them from the dead. I mean, amen? We can do that. So, I mean, compassion is not just something looking at someone and feeling just sorry for them. Compassion causes us to help, to do something about their condition. So again, I'm saying to you, that's the kind of compassion that Jesus Christ had. It moved Him to do something. Now, we want to be like Jesus, and so compassion for folk ought to move us to do something. Now, over in Matthew, the ninth chapter, let me read verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said, and then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now here we find Jesus looking at the multitudes, and there had been many things done there, but we're not going to deal with that time being. Right now he looks out here at the multitudes, and what he sees is this. He sees a multitude here as though they were scattered abroad. sheep having no shepherd. Now, the thing about it was did he have compassion? Compassion always moves you to do something. And compassion caused Jesus Christ to do something. And here's what he said. Here's what's needed. There's sheep having no shepherd. He said, what you need to do is begin to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. Now, folks, let me say something to you. There's young people out here. There's older folk out here. I was saved when I was 26 years of age. When I was 30 years of age, right after I turned 30 years of age, God called me to preach. How many is 30 and under here? Hold your hands up. You're 30 and under. How many's here 30? Anybody here 30? Anybody? No one's here 30. Anyone 25 to 30? 25 to 30. How about 35, and between 30 and 35? You know God still may just want to call you. How about 40? How about 40? My pastor, the preacher, 40 right here. 40 back here. My preacher, Brother Evans, was called when he's 40. Now what I'm saying is, what we need, if we really have compassion, is offer ourselves to the Lord to be used of God and go into the harvest, be laborers in the harvest. Now, I want to say to you, it isn't just preaching. Folks, Sunday school teachers every week here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church prepare their messages and go into a classroom and take the Word of God and teach to their students the blessed book, the Word of God. They're laborers in the harvest. Children's Church right now is going on out here in our buildings, one down here, one out there, and they are laborers in the harvest, taking the Word of God and laboring in the harvest. School ministry, teachers teach day in and day out here. They are laborers in the harvest. I'm just simply saying what we need is a people who's willing, young people who will stand up and come to an altar and say, God wants to use me as a laborer. I'm going to offer myself as a laborer in the harvest. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God said that's what's needed. That's what we need. You know why? Because the multitudes are out there without a shepherd. Oh, folks, listen. There is churches all over this country that has no shepherd that will lead them right. You hear me? And what do we need? We need preachers that go out there and preach to them the blessed book, the Word of God. Amen? And we need young people preparing for that. Got a young man sitting right down here, Jason. Gave his heart to the Lord. Going to be preaching the Word of God. Getting prepared, getting ready to go to school and get all that done. Why? He wants to work in the harvest. Got Jonathan back there. Gave himself to the Lord. Going to preach the Word of God. What for? You go work in the harvest. And we've got young ladies, not just the young men. We've got young ladies all through this congregation that's given themselves to the work of the harvest. It won't be as preaching, but it'll be work in the work of God. As in the harvest. I'm saying to you folks, when there's compassion and that we respond to that compassion, I want you to listen to me. What happens is we do something about it. We offer ourselves to the Lord for the work. Amen? That's what God is looking for. God's looking for people out here to say, I'm going to get into the work. I'm going to do it now. Not going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to get into the work and get busy and get prepared and get ready. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to serve God. It's so needed because, folks, listen, Jesus is coming soon. We got to do it now, not tomorrow, not next week. We got to just get prepared now for the work of the harvest. Amen? We've got to do it. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus had compassion and he done something about it. He didn't sit in a church pew and forget it. Many of you today are absolutely working in the harvest. We got bus ministries. We got all kinds of ministries. You are working in the harvest. Believe me, you are working in the harvest, but there needs to be more raised up. Constantly working in the harvest. Get busy. Let's get this thing done. Amen. Let's get it done for Jesus' sake, you see. So he saw the multitude. All you have to do is open your eyes and look out there because it's out there. The multitudes without Christ are out there. And God is looking for laborers to get busy and do what needs to be done so we can get the job done. Amen. And if we got real compassion for those multitudes, we'll give ourselves to the work of the harvest. Now let's look over to Matthew, the 14th chapter, please. Verse 13 and 14, "And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." I want to tell you one thing here. We find that Jesus had compassion upon the sick. There's all kinds of sick folk out there that needs our help. Brother Jack Kestner's went through a very difficult time in his life. I appreciate Brother English. He's the deacon that is kind of appointed to take care of Brother Kestner, look after him, and watch after him. Appreciate the work he's done with Brother Kestner and kept tab of him and all of this. But I want to tell you, God expects us to be a blessing to the sick. Now, we may not be able to touch him and heal him, but I want to tell you something. We can pray to the God who can. And we can do everything we absolutely possibly can to be a blessing to these people who are ill. And I do believe we've got a compassionate church, but we have got to remember it's our responsibility to not only talk about compassion, but to do something about it. And then, of course, you want to look on the spiritual side of it. They certainly are sick in sin. Multitudes out there are sick in sin, and it's up to us to get out there and take that gospel message to them. I don't know whether I can say it enough, but folks, listen to me. There's only one message that'll get people saved, and that's Jesus Christ, dead, buried, and risen again, and he's coming again, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, and the only message that they need is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for their sins, and they need to get washed in it, and we got to get the message out there. It just does not just happen. You know, there's two, well, I won't say there's just two kinds, but what we got to remember is this, folks. You don't need someone constantly prodding you to do that. If it comes from the right place, you'll just do it. Amen. You know what? Brother Bo Ackerman, you don't mind me use you for a moment. You know, I have never went to Brother Bo Ackerman, not one time, and said to him, "Brother Bo, I wish you'd get out there and do your bus route like you're supposed to." You know why? It's in here. It's right there. Now, I don't mean I shouldn't have to encourage him and all those things, and we did, I think, encourage him out here in the thing we had. I think that was an encouragement with Brother Bo, but he's been doing this for 20 years. But you know why he does it for 20 years? You know why he does it week after week after week? It's right there. You understand what I'm saying? And if you had to be prodded constantly to teach your Sunday school class, if you had to be prodded constantly to study your lesson, you had to be prodded to build your class and do something with your class and care about your class, it's not here. It's not there. You understand? Hear me? Hear me what I'm saying? It's not there. And that's where it's got to be. You see, because they're out there. The sick are out there, spiritually I'm talking about. The sick are out there, they're without Christ, and they need healing. They need Jesus. And we got to have compassion upon them. And when we got the compassion Jesus had, because it comes from here, we won't have to be prodded to do it. Amen? I mean, am I right? Is that right? Amen? Sure. Now let's turn over to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Verse 32. "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ and looked out over the multitude, and he found a group that was hungry. Now, you want to know something. I want you to, as we go through these, and Jesus has compassion on them, I want you to understand something. Here was a group of people who were wanting to know, at least to the place where they was following Jesus. Here was a hungry group. They'd been there 3 days and hadn't eaten. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying to you, yes, we've got to help the needy. We've got to help those who are truly needy. It's our responsibility to do that. And I believe God's going to hold us accountable in this area that makes sure that we take care of the needy. We've got to find out who those needy is. We've got to find out and decipher the ones that are truly needy and the ones that are not truly needy. But we just can't pass the thing off and say there isn't anybody needy out there. There is some folk needy out there. And we've got to help them. There's no doubt about that. But let me say to you also, in other words, there's some hungry folk out there. But there's also some hungry folk out there that are spiritually hungry. They never heard the Bible. They never heard the Word of God. And we have got, with the same thing that I've been telling you, we've got to get that Word of God out to them. They're hungry for it. And the only message, the only food that they need is the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God, the gospel message that will save their souls. So again, I'm saying to you, as a compassionate people, we see the hungry people out there, what will it do? Jesus didn't say, oh, well, they're hungry, so what? No, he broke up the fish and the bread and fed them all. Now what I'm saying to you is, folks, compassion will cause you to do something. Feeling sorry for somebody and looking at somebody and shaking your head and saying, oh, I'm so sorry for that person is not compassion. Compassion happens when we do something about it. Amen? All right, then let's look over to Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 30. Verse 30, chapter 20, book of Matthew, and he says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Again, we see that Jesus, because of the compassion he had for two blind men here, he done something about it. He opened their eyes. And again, I want to say to you, as God's people, Blessed Old Baptist Church, the devil blinds the minds of those that believe not. He's got them blinded. The unsaved are blind. Now, we look at the unsaved and we shake our head and say, I don't understand why they don't just get saved. Why in the world do they just do right? Because they're blind. And the only one thing is going to open their eyes, and that's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There isn't anything else. And you say, oh, I know some that I've given the gospel to and they don't want to hear. Well, folks, there's some that do. And we can't look at the ones who don't. We've got to look at the ones that do that's out there in this community. We've got to get the message that will open their eyes, those old blinded eyes, and the only way that we're going to show forth compassion is by giving that message. You can't just shake her head and say, oh boy, this lost out there. Isn't that a mess? Boy, that's terrible. So many people lost. Compassion does something about it. Amen? And compassion will get you to take that Word of God and help to lift the eyes of the blind. Now I want you to go over to with me to the book of Mark, the first chapter. First chapter, verse 40, verse 41, says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Imagine one of those leopards coming in here and walking down this aisle. Now, I have a feeling that just about everybody in here would literally turn and stare at him. Maybe we might even say, what's he doing here? But let me assure you one thing, Jesus Christ did not. The Bible says he knelt down and this man had faith. He simply said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He understood something. He knew that Jesus Christ was able to cleanse him into a person who was whole again. He said, if you will that, he said, I can be clean. And Jesus said, I will that thou be clean. And he touched. Most of us would recoil at walking up to a leper in that condition and putting our hand on him. We're too proud for that. Oh, goodness, would I want to touch a leper? Jesus had no problem whatsoever. Walked up to him, put his hand upon him, touched him, and he was cleansed. Now you say, well, Brother Ross, I'm glad I don't have leprosy. If you're not saved, you do. And if you are saved, you used to have it. Because in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. I'll never forget the day soon after I was saved in 1966. I can't remember the length of time it was, but it wasn't too long after I was saved that I was reading that portion of Scripture. And the Lord impressed upon me, that's the way you looked to me. In the leprosy of sin. When I knelt at an altar and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, to the Lord I looked no better than that leper looked. Filthy sin, and every single one of us is there or has been. And yet I'll never forget, because I read that scripture and I said to the Lord, oh, thank you that you was willing to touch me and make me clean. The Lord did not reject me as I knelt at an altar so many, many years ago in 1966. Although I had the leprosy of sin all over me, he did not reject me. He reached out and touched me and made me whole. Because I put my faith and trust in him, I believed upon him. I was like this leper. I was saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he did. Now, what I'm saying to you, folks, Jesus had compassion. Now, that kind of compassion caused him not just to be sorry, but to do something. In 1966, he had compassion on me. He touched me and healed me and saved my soul and gave me eternal life. Again, I just want to say to you this morning, Jesus Christ has that very same compassion today. You're here today without Jesus Christ. He has compassion on you. He wants to save you. I want you to look for just a moment and understand. If you're not saved, I want you to listen. The way you look to God right now is like an old, dirty, filthy leper. That's the way you look. And yet, if you're willing, as this man was, to come to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him, he'll make you clean. He'll make you new again. You see, if we don't understand what we are, we'll never want to change. You think you're doing all right, you're just fine without Christ. No, you're not. You're just like an old leper. Leprosy of sin. And it's going to only one can cleanse you and make you whole is Jesus. And it's still that compassionate, wonderful Lord Jesus who wants to do that. I'm inviting you this morning, the invitation, please look at yourself and see what God sees when he looks at you, as he did in me before 1966. That's what God saw. And yet afterwards, he saw someone who was completely cleansed, not because he deserved to be, but because God cleansed him, washed him, and made him new again, gave him a new birth. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you this morning, the same compassionate Christ who loved me and has loved all these people we've talked about this morning loves you and wants to do something for you this morning. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your kindness and your goodness and all that you've done for us, and thank you for your sweet compassion upon us that moves you to do what needs to be done in our life. Now, Father, I want to pray this morning, ask you, O God, that you'll be allowed to move upon those who know you not as personal Savior, that they will invite you to help them. They will be willing to put their faith, their trust in you. And Father, I pray for that this morning, because we know you're waiting, ready to save their souls and give them eternal life. Lord, we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.